Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining the 53rd Peer Insight Research Meeting. This is Dave Vellante of Wikibon, and the topic for today is 2009 storage budget cuts. What are your options? And as most of you know, the Wikibon Peer Insight is a bi-monthly conference call where we talk about how vendor technologies align and support the development of a business capability. It's really that simple. I'd like to ask you, again, just if you're not speaking on the call, please mute your line. If you don't have a mute button, you can hit star 6 to mute, and then if you want to speak later on the call, just hit star 6 to unmute if you want to participate. So we'd really appreciate that to cut down the background noise. I also want to let you know that this call is being recorded and will last 1 hour. Now, typically the way Peer Insights work is that a question is posted on Wikibon in the Ask a Question forum, and to find the question which catalyzed today's Peer Insight, you can go to wikibon.org and check out announcements in the left-hand side of the nav bar. On the bottom left-hand side of the page, you'll see announcements, and then you'll see a posting for today's Peer Insight. It's 11-18-08 Peer Insight, 2009 storage budget cuts, what are your options? In that document, that's essentially the invitation and the description for today's meeting, there's a link that's bolded, how will storage executives address budget cuts in 2009, and you'll see a lot of the discussion that took place. Now, many times your questions are going to be answered by peers in the community where they share their experiences, and every now and then that question shows up that we think that warrants a peer insight. In this case, that's what occurred, and one of the folks out there, a technologist, saw the question and thought they had a good solution, and that's was Nelson Nahum, who we've invited in today. So this week's Peer Insight was really keyed on that question and is obviously timely given the economic crisis that IT folks are facing, being asked to do more with less yet again. So a lot of good answers in there, you'll see, and we approached the folks at LSI, specifically Nelson, and he asked if he could have an opportunity to brief the community on ways in which LSI is helping take this challenge on. And with every vendor who asks to brief the community, we request them to identify an IT professional who has actually deployed the technology so we can discuss with them and have them co-present. So today on the call we have Grant, who is a senior storage administrator from a large financial institution. He's leveraged LSI's Storage Virtualization Manager, the SVM, and we've asked Grant to discuss its deployment in the context of how it's helping save money and one of the challenges that he's faced in that regard. Also on the call is Nahum, who's an LSI fellow, and he's going to talk not only about LSI's technology, but about how virtualization in general can help you fend off costly storage purchases and improve negotiation leverage and utilization and things like that. Now, in a moment, I'm going to turn the call over to Grant, who's going to briefly discuss his environment and the challenges he was faced that ultimately led down the path of virtualization. I want to stress this call is for you, the IT practitioner. The calls are more valuable when folks participate, so once Grant reviews his environment, I'm going to ask if anyone has any further questions, and then he's going to discuss the solutions that were deployed, and after that, we're going to ask Nelson to talk about virtualization and LSI's approach. And then again, we'll open up the call once Nelson is done and ask for questions and comments. And would love to hear from others who have similar challenges and are solving them in similar or different ways. So good morning, Grant and Nelson. I think you're still on.
Good morning.
So Grant, can you please start us off by describing your environment and some of the challenges you were facing prior to moving to a virtualized storage infrastructure? What were the drivers for the initiative?
All right. Our environment consists of a heterogeneous environment consisting of multiple FAT and SAN fabrics and multiple storage subsystems. What drove us to virtualization was that we had a lot of SQL servers right now that were just running regular RDACs on our system, but we need their volume constantly kept on growing. So for us, one way to do expansion was going through virtualization, especially with the SVM. Made it really simple to expand. Also provides the technology to do shots on those volumes also. Now with the budget cuts, since we have so many subsystems in multiple fan environments. Now, wanted to look for was trying to produce a two-level storage system and able to talk between the two SAN fabrics without doing the ISL.
So, Nelson, on Wikibon, we were talking about some of the actions that users are taking to address budget cuts. And specifically, we had some tactical advice, things like renegotiating existing contracts and cutting non-essential projects, and many of you can see those online. And you had made the point that, well, storage virtualization, in particular, heterogeneous storage virtualization, can address these. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I have a few points that I want to talk that are the feedback from many customers I met during the last years that implemented storage virtualization. The first one was pretty shocking that many customers, even before turning up the storage virtualization product, they got very good prices on storage expansion from the storage vendor. Used to be that the storage vendor knew that the only way to expand the storage is to buy the same storage. And if you compare the price per terabyte of disk drive in Fry's and the price per terabyte of a disk drive in your storage vendor, there is a huge gap. So what happened is that many smart customers bought storage virtualization and told the vendor, listen, I have storage virtualization here. I can use and choose any storage I want. If I want a tier one, I had a customer that told me that they always buy tier one, but they invited all the three letters acronym companies, and they say, give me the best price. I don't want the storage feature, the software. Just give me the best price per terabyte. If you want tier two, the same. You can ask each one to give you the best price, and you can pick and choose. And just the fact that you can pick and choose, in general, the customers keep going with the same storage vendor, but just the fact that the salesman know that you can pick and choose give them a tremendous discount that basically pay for the storage virtualization software by itself in the first acquisition of new storage. This is even before turning up. But once you turn up and you start implementing storage virtualization, then you have a storage pooling. That means that all the storage is available to all the servers. You don't have anymore the situation that you have a storage box full and a storage box half empty, and you cannot use this storage to expand the volume from the other one. This is one of the typical cases that I think that is the main reason why Grant is using the system. So it boosts storage utilization, but because the moment that you can use any storage to put to any application, your storage utilization is going up. It's not per silo, it's per system. If you move forward, we have a team provisioning that agree is not something that you will want to do for every application, but there are many applications that, like file systems and things like that, that are the best for team provisioning. So you give them, the customer or the server administrator, 2 terabytes volume. Actually, only the real capacity that is written will be allocated. Is also put the storage close to 100%. Typically the server administrator ask more capacity than they really need, sometimes twice. And in this case, you can give them as much as capacity they want because only the data that will be really written will be allocated. Online migration, this is another capability of storage virtualization. If you leave storage, you are in a position that at any moment you can migrate the storage without any downtime, without any pain. So you can renegotiate lease storage and you can return lease storage. This is a big advantage to reduce costs.
So, Nelson,
continue going on, and there's a lot of things that storage virtualization can help you reducing the budget.
Yeah, so I want to talk about this in the context of budget cuts. Well, first of all, what are people seeing out there for budget cuts? Can we just sort of open it up and just get a general range? I mean, I've talked to folks that are you know, anywhere from the 5 to 30%. Is that what people are seeing? Just let me open it up to the audience. Anybody? No,
yeah.
No budget. Go ahead.
My IT shop has come back and said that we should plan on probably 20 to 25%, probably more on the 20 because we still have to support the lines of business, but that number sounds about right.
Okay. So others seeing sort of that type of range, or have they not hit yet, or are they steeper than that? What I'm getting to is if I've got this infrastructure in place, and I don't know, Grant, if you're back, but if I've got this infrastructure in place, you know, one of the premise behind this call was that there's going to be an increased emphasis on getting more out of installed assets. And if you've got this infrastructure installed, I'd like to talk about ways you can take advantage of it, but I also like to explore, what if you don't have this installed? Is it realistic to think that people are actually going to invest in putting in this heterogeneous storage infrastructure because there's a cost associated with that? And I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Grant, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. You guys hear me all right?
Yeah, so yeah, that's much better. Thank you. So why don't we go back to the beginning and just summarize your challenges a little bit. You were talking about, I think, the high growth of SQL databases and increasing volume sizes and looking at budget cuts. But so can you just describe the situation before you went to a virtualized storage environment and how it plays in a current cost-cutting climate?
Prior to us going to virtualized, we had a lot of SQL servers, and of course with the SQL servers, their volumes kept on growing to the point that we couldn't expand them. So SQL gave us a great feature for volume expansion, which gave us which Nelson said, storage pooling, and also gives a great tremendous amount of flexibility that we can expand these volumes. Main feature is why we went over to SVM. And currently,
okay.
Right now, is oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please continue.
And for right now, since because of how the market is, we have to increase so we have a real. Our budget's really getting smaller and smaller and smaller by every day. So with now, we want to get a lot of our subsystems and actually start go to approach of a tier storage system, going tier one, tier two, tier three. And with right now, we're looking at the SVM5s is trying to get thing and pull all the storage system subsystems together so we can see firm pools for our tier level system.
Okay. So when did you go to a virtualized environment, virtualized environment?
We went about 5 years ago.
Okay, and so actually, I have another question: what kind of budget cuts are you seeing? I mean, just in percentage terms.
In percentage, we're seeing close to 75%.
You're seeing a 75% cut in your budget?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
It was a drastic cut just to keep everything all in the rump, in the black. And then sooner or later, they'll probably readjust and look into it more in our budget cut, so our budget cut might come down to 20%. But right now, they did a drastic cut just to keep everything in the black.
And so basically said, all right, you've got 25% of what you used to have to work with over the next... What period of time?
We go 6 months.
Okay, so that's a sort of six-month view. So now you're obviously faced with a situation where you've got to get more out of what you have. So specifically, how are you doing that, and how does virtualization play into that, whether it's getting, you know, reclaiming wasted space or moving stuff to lower tiers? Can you talk about that specifically?
Yeah, that'll be easy. Right now with virtualization is the way we can reclaim space is we get a lot of our subsystems are virtualized. We could go down to specific systems that, let's say there is one SQL server, and they're for one project, and they're requiring 600 gigs to 1 terabyte of use. We go back in there, we realize that they're only using 30% of that storage. Now what the situation is, we can start virtualizing everything. So we got thin provisioning going on. And if we have an emergency, let's say a Code Red incident comes up where we need storage right away for approximately 3 months of use, we can use some of their storage to give to them for short-term use. And that's where a good way for virtualization to come help us out.
Okay. So, so you've got a way to, you know, potentially reclaim some wasted space, I'm hearing, with thin provisioning. Have you? So this is an expectation, correct? You're not currently doing thin provisioning, or are you?
No, we are doing thin provisioning on certain applications, not on all applications.
And what are you seeing in terms of you know, improvements in utilization? Can you quantify that at all for the audience?
We see a drastic improvement. Yes, right now they always say they want more growth, but within provisioning, we always have everything left off to the side. So for them, cost, they do get a drastic cost reduction. And performance-wise, we still same as performance-wise, how we set everything up on the arrays and on subsystems. So the biggest feature is cost.
All right. So you don't have any sort of hard numbers on what kind of utilization improvements you've seen. Is that correct? Is that what I'm understanding?
Correct. Not at this time. I'm not a car.
Yeah. Okay. And you talked about tiered storage, right? Are you doing tiered storage today? And can you discuss that a little bit more in depth?
All right. We currently, it's a pseudo tiered storage. We do have one high-end storage system, our enterprise storage, and that will be considered Tier 1 no matter what. And usually all that is anything that's production-based or a high-end DR will be going to there. But right now we have a whole bunch of different subsystems that are laid out in two different fabrics, which we like to tier up, and we like to use those as a Tier 2 and Tier 3. The way with SVM5 is now we can have a pair of SVM5s and DPMs that are able to connect the two different fabrics, one like, let's say, a Brocade and Cisco fabric. Now we can contact all these different subsystems and create pools and start migrating all our data in between. So if we find out, we run a report, we find out one file system is using this data and hasn't been using this data for 6 months, we might pull them over to a Tier 3 now and we'll leave them as an archive. Of course, our systems will be judged based on who's going to get Tier 2 and Tier 3, depending on how much cache, the gigs, and speed of the subsystem.
Okay, can you talk specifically how that's going to help you address the 75% reduced budget in the next 6 months?
Okay. Right now, like I said, we're on two different fabrics. And the biggest thing is, well, we're not based on one fabric, or we just won't have enough space in one fabric, and the other fabric has it, but the server that we're in question that needs the storage is on the fabric that does not have enough storage. Help us with the budget cuts is now we can pull all the subsystems into one, so now we can find storage anywhere we go. And the hardest problem is right now is, like I said, we have storage, well, the application needs storage that's on a fabric that does not have enough storage for them. So if it comes down to it, we usually would go buy more storage on that fabric. With the SVM, now we can consolidate everything, which comes out with a lot, able to save a lot more money.
Okay, so it really is an issue as you were growing, as your databases and SQL databases were growing, you just didn't, a particular server didn't have access to any storage, so you just go buy more storage, and now you're cracking down on that practice, or able to crack down on that practice because of pooling and tiered storage. Is that correct?
That's correct. And a lot of our applications right now, a lot of our servers or databases, our applications are all on project-based. And since a lot of the budget got cut, a lot of projects are now, but they don't have the money to go purchase all the storage. So now we have to actually reset all our systems and figure out how we're going to do this. The worst thing is to put a server on two different fabrics.
Okay.
So the main concern is we need consolidation.
Say that again, sorry?
Our main concern right now, with which will help us out on our budget, is consolidation.
Okay. Can you talk about that a little bit more? I mean, specifically, how will it help with your budget?
It's like before, it's going to able us pull. You guys hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. With the consolidation, it allows us to pull twelve different subsystems, let's say into six different storage pools. And there could be a total of three storage pools at two or tier three. But now that all consolidation is, we don't have to go purchase more storage for one subsystem. I can pull one from one subsystem and from another subsystem to able to get that storage for that project that needs.
Okay. And now, go ahead, sorry. Sorry, Grant, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I thought someone else was trying to talk. So, yeah, with that consolidation, now we can purchase different subsystems and we don't have to purchase anymore. We are using what we have in-house.
How about software licenses and maintenance contracts? Are you able to consolidate those?
Software license, for hardware, we'll be able to consolidate. Currently right now we're running multiple SVM domains. Now if we consolidate all the SVM domains into one domain, a lot of our hardware costs will be freed up.
And are you doing server virtualization?
Yes, we are.
Is that a VMware implementation?
Yes, VMware, and that'll probably more likely be a migration on itself, but good chances that will be virtualized also. That will help out a lot. Currently in our environment, the VMware is not virtualized at all. So we're pulling large chunks of storage from them every time they're asking for more storage. Coming with virtualization, now we can expand their current volumes.
Let me make sure I understand. You're saying the storage behind your VMware instances is not virtualized currently. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, but you have a future plan to virtualize that storage? Or?
Yes, future plans, and that's probably going to happen mid-next year.
Let me ask you, does anybody out there have any questions for Grant? I mean, I'm dominating the questions here, but wanted to set up the environment. Anybody? If
yeah,
not...
This is Nick Allen.
Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Grant, got a question. You talk about primary-based storage and secondary. What about your archive strategy? Are you using deduplication to save on space? And also, have you thought about iSCSI at all, or are you staying away from that technology? Can you talk about those?
This is Grant. You're talking about the data dedupe?
Correct.
You came a little bit broken, so your question.
Okay. The question is, can you talk about your archive and DR strategy and whether or not you're using any dedupe technologies with that? And then I haven't heard anything about iSCSI and was wondering if that offers any, what's your thoughts around that, if it offered any savings or direction in the future around iSCSI with a technique fabric.
Who's asking that question? Just first name, even?
Sure. This is Matthew Bursay from
Hi,
Quantum.
Thank you. So what about that, Grant? What about data dedupe and iSCSI and the whole archiving strategy?
For archiving strategy, we're planning to use one of our older subsystems, an extremely old subsystem. And we really never got into the data dedupe. We were looking that into our NASs, because right now our NASs extremely need that portion. But for archiving, was really data that hasn't been used over 6 months, and more likely it's not going to be used at all. But to the point, a lot of companies right now, especially email, you need to keep your data for 7 years. So eventually we will be looking into data dedupe if we need to. For iSCSI, it was one venture that we were trying to go down to at one point. That we did not get the performance that we wanted them to go through. And it's just because of that, with all the other projects coming up, it fell down through the hoops. And right now, with the higher management, they just don't want to go through iSCSI anymore.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So before I change the sort of direction here in the call, I just want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to speak. So I want to take a different vector with Grant and Nelson, but if anybody's got any other questions they have of Grant. One other, Grant, if you could just give us a sense of the size of your installation, like how many servers, how much storage. I don't think we touched on that.
Our storage for virtualization will be close to over 100 terabytes.
How many terabytes?
300.
So you have 300 terabytes virtualized, is that right?
We'll be virtualized. Currently, at this time, we got about 254.
Okay. Out of how many in total in the shop?
Total in the shop, about 700 terabytes.
Okay. And how many servers are you supporting?
We are supporting about 400.
400 servers. And the primary applications are, what do you mentioned SQL. I mean, what are your primary applications that you're supporting?
Primary applications will be SQL, Exchange. SQL and Exchange are our primary servers.
Okay. All right, so I want to explore this notion, get back to sort of the whole feasibility of using storage virtualization to address budget constraints. And maybe, Nelson, you could help us here. So I'm envisioning a customer that has storage virtualization in place and plans to extend that, like Grant, where they can take advantage of tiering, maybe consolidating software contracts, maybe using thin provisioning to improve utilization in general. What about the guys that aren't there, that haven't taken the step toward virtualization? I mean, can they realistically look to storage virtualization as a viable plan in 2009, or is the expense of doing that just too onerous? Can you maybe Nelson, you can talk about that just at a high level in terms of what you're seeing and how LSI supports that?
Yeah, definitely. So Grant didn't grow from day zero to 254 terabytes of virtualized storage. Actually, one of the main features of SVM we have is that you can install very gradually. It's LAN by LAN, server by server. You can start with, if you want, with one LAN and one server. And slowly, during the in a period of time, you can add very easily more applications. We have a function that import current existing data into the virtualization environment. So it takes few minutes to have from a LAN that has data till the same LAN becomes a virtual volume and has repurposed the same data to the same server. This is on the labor expense. It's very easy to start and very easy to grow over the time. It's not one day I want to virtualize my whole data center. The second question is regarding the price of starting. And in our particular case, the price is according to the capacity virtualized. So if you start with very small amount of capacity, then you pay very little. And over the time, the more you virtualize, you pay more licenses according to the capacity. So definitely, both from the pricing perspective or the investment that need to be done and the investment in labor, it is perfect to start in an environment like this that the budget is very, very small.
Okay, so the price I get and the reduction in labor, the thing we haven't talked about that I'd like you to address, which a lot of customers share with us, is just the whole migration cost. So prior to going to when you get to a heterogeneous virtualized storage environment, you can migrate pretty easily. You know, people have said to us that sometimes migrations take 6 months, and they've got 3-year leases, and this sort of this constant, you know, migration headache. Once you get to the virtualized environment, it's a lot easier. It could be down to days, or you know.
The migration is first of all online, so you don't need to come on the weekend to migrate. On one side.
Right. Right. But is to get there. I'm in, you know, November of 2008. I don't have that infrastructure in place. To get there, I have to go through, what do I have to go through? Is it an enormous planning exercise? I mean, can you help the users on the call understand, again, the feasibility of getting from where they are today to this place where Grant is, where he can actually turn those knobs? Is it a feasible expectation that users who don't have this infrastructure in place can actually get there in any kind of reasonable time frame without a lot of pain?
Yeah, so first of all, you call LSI. That will be the first thing to do. We work with the customer and in the planning and in the implementation way. And again, because the fact that you can start very small, and you can small in the amount of virtual capacity and small in the amount of the budget because of the capacity, you can say, a customer can say, you know what, I want to start this virtualization. I have a new project that, for example, that would be a good case. You have a new project and you cannot buy the storage, but you have storage available in a system that, you know, you cannot reclaim. So, okay, you virtualize this storage, maybe 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes, 4 terabytes, and you give to this, you build this small virtualization environment inside the whole complex. And we work with the customer through our VAR channel, and this is something that we help with the customer to start with. The starting is very easy. It's much easier than you will think. Oh, you know, people tend to think, I have a big data center, now how I virtualize that? We start with small, and then in very small increments also. And once the customer understands how to migrate or how to import data that is not virtualized to the virtualization environment, that is really literally take a few minutes, then you can grow over the time.
So, Grant, was that your experience? I don't know if you heard that discussion that I was having with Nelson about, you know, the first time through, the, you know, sort of the original setting up of the virtualized storage infrastructure, and the challenges there. And Nelson's point was you can start small and grow, and you can do it. I think you said minutes. You can do it in virtually minutes after the infrastructure installed, but getting there is a concern that I have, and I wanted to see if you could share, you know, go back to when you originally went to a virtualized environment. How painful was it? Was your experience similar to what Nelson described?
Not at all.
How much planning was involved? Good. Sorry.
Yeah, you guys hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
All right. Really, no, it's not difficult at all. It's extremely simple as it is. We're still constantly doing it. We are grabbing a lot of our legacy servers and virtualizing them. And I can't really tell you how it was in the beginning because they installed it 5 years ago, and I came to this company 2 years ago. So there's some time difference. But I could speak to transforming a lot of our legacy systems into virtualization, and it's extremely easy to do. The only thing is there's got to be reboots for the host agents to be installed if you're using the SVN 4. But with the SVN 5 coming out, you don't have to do any reboots. But once doing that, it's extremely easy to do. We do our quick node migration, which we have an in-house built tool that we use when we're migrating a legacy system to virtualization. But for migrating from virtualized to virtualized, it's extremely simple. We use the multi-copy or the multi-migrate. So it comes down to standpoint, it is extremely simple to do.
Anybody else want to chime in on this? Has that been your experience? I mean, just in terms of planning or changing the backup, you know, structure if necessary? Is any others want to share their experiences or any thoughts on that? Is it really that simple? Must be. Okay.
I can speak for a customer that we have in Germany with 500 terabytes and also close to 400 servers. He started from four servers. I was there at the beginning, and he started with four servers and 4 terabytes. And we teach him how to import. I mean, the data was there before, right? And we teach him how to import the volume LANs into volumes and repurpose to the server. And as Grant said, once he understand how to do that, he went ahead and grew over the time without even our involvement.
Okay, so Nelson, you've got, I mean, it seems like a key aspect of SVN 5 is you're able to, sorry, did somebody have a question? No, okay. It seems like a key aspect is you're able to virtualize heterogeneous storage, and there aren't, not everybody does that. Obviously, IBM does it with SVC, Hitachi does it with USPV, EMC does it with Invista, which has had a very slow uptake. The other two seem to be doing pretty well, but there's really a sort of limited set of solutions out there. I think that's correct. If not, please, you know, if I'm missing somebody, let me know. But I think on the block side, anyway, that's the sort of lay of the land. File virtualization, there might be others. I'm sure there are. My question is sort of a comment, and I wonder if you could respond, is you said before you call LSI, which sort of surprised me. I think I'm correct in that you predominantly sell or exclusively sell through OEM channels. And can you talk about that a little bit? Who's taken up this product, if you can say? You know, where do you expect it? How do you expect it to play relative to some of those other products that I mentioned? Where does it fit?
The product fits mostly in mid-range shops. I mean, mid-range too high, yes? Yeah? So mid-range and above, I would say. It is fiber channel, so will not be for a small customer that has only 4 or 5 servers. It will not be a good fit. But people that has, let's say, 20 servers and above, I would say 4 or 5 terabytes and above, then it fits. And the bigger, the better. The bigger the fit is better. Bigger the customer is, the more challenges there are. I mean, people like Grant has multiple fabrics and multiple arrays and different vendors and so on. So the bigger is better. Currently, LSI sell this through OEM channels as well through VAR channels. It was publicly announced that HP is releasing a product that is collaboration with our virtualization software. And we are working with other OEMs as well.
Okay. And, you know, I wonder, too, I would like to ask people's opinion on this. I mean, it just seems to make so much sense that you can virtualize heterogeneous assets, take advantage of what's installed, apply, you know, modern functionality to, you know, maybe aging assets, you know, whether it's snaps and clones, et cetera. And I know the SVC has done pretty well. I know Hitachi USPV has done pretty well. It sounds like SVM is really doing well and poised to take off. But it just seems like EMC, with the lack of a really strong heterogeneous virtualization story, hasn't seemed to be affected. Is that because, let's see. I guess I'd be interested in people's opinions. Is that going to change from the economic crisis, or is this a requirement that's more of a niche requirement? I mean, why hasn't this whole trend of virtualizing heterogeneous assets really taken the world by storm? Does anybody have any opinions on that?
This is David Floyer. I mean, I think one of the issues with virtualizing heterogeneous storage is literally keeping all of the microcodes of all of the devices up to date, and the levels of software up to date. And one of the advantages of a heterogeneous strategy by selling it through, for example, HP, is that you can then qualify all of the equipment from that manufacturer, and then know that that all of that that hardware is going to be supported, or IBM or whoever the qualification comes from. So it works in theory, but it's certainly an issue if you're trying to fit together too many pieces of equipment from different vendors all together on the same box. That can cause issues. So I would suggest that the heterogeneous story is a little patchy in terms of its total breadth of ability to put stuff on. It's much easier if you stick to one vendor and that they've qualified everything on that particular box.
David, this is Nelson. We qualify the other storage arrays. We have an interrupt matrix, even with the version numbers and things like that. So we qualify the arrays that we support. We don't tell the customer, you know, buy. You can buy. Whatever, we tell the customer this is an interrupt matrix, and we are constantly growing. LSI is investing a lot of money in buying equipment and labs and so on, in order to basically provide truly heterogeneous. And when I say heterogeneous, we focus mostly on the most popular arrays. Obviously, if you come with a JBOD, it probably will not be in the interoperability matrix. But we do this work and we provide heterogeneous, and we are truly heterogeneous in the sense that we don't make somebody favorite against others, even our own LSI arrays. Some of our competitors that you mentioned, they have things like they can import data only from other arrays, but they cannot export from their own arrays. We don't have this kind of thing. We build a heterogeneous virtualization product that doesn't make any array, even the LSI ones, more favorite than the other.
Hey, Nelson and Dave, this is Steve, longtime Wikibon user, and thanks, Dave, and the Wikibon team for your site. I use it all the time. It lends a lot of advice. I'd like to just, you know, maybe make a point. I kind of want to echo, I think it was David Floyer that was talking before, where I think the top things that IT ends up having to worry about are cost, complexity, and risk. And I think as they head into these tough economic times, they take a look at those three functions, and they also have to look at solving the business challenge. And Nelson, not that your technology is complex at all, but I think fundamentally what Dave says is if I have a heterogeneous environment, I'm thinking about putting on this added layer, what does it do to my complexity? And if I could solve that challenge, both the financial part and the risk part, with other things like maybe I'm doing it to a lead storage, but maybe I should do an archiving practice instead, right? From a cost and risk standpoint, where do I better spend my dollars and not take on additional risk? And I think those three play a big part in the whole solution. And I'd just be interested, Nelson, I buy a particular file system for my storage, so maybe it's VXFS, right? And I trust my data to that file system intrinsically. And now I'm going to start spreading it over heterogeneous storage. Geez, you know, that might seem a bit risky to me. How does that play into your matrix and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so first of all, if you don't have storage virtualization, obviously when you think about the heterogeneous storage, it looks like a nightmare. But this is what we come to solve. It's the complexity is when you don't have storage virtualization. When you introduce storage virtualization, basically your complexity is gone. And having, for example, in our case, setting snapshots and remote mirror and team provisioning, doesn't matter which storage array do you have underneath. And we provide, as I said before, the interoperability matrix to make sure that, okay, we tested that, you know that it will work, and we support that. This is exactly the reason why you can save costs, is because we solve the complexity issue. And obviously, if you don't have that, you think that it's too complex. Without storage virtualization, it's very complex. And maybe Grant can talk. I think, Grant, you have a different kind of arrays, and I don't think you have a special, headache because you have different arrays.
No. When we have different arrays, we don't have headaches at all. We'll introduce what's virtualization. When it comes to not being virtualized, it becomes a bigger headache because when you go to the subsystem, you got to create an array for it. And sometimes when you don't have virtualization, when you create the array, you create the volume. Most of the time, that volume is going to be they're going to use that entire volume within, let's say, 6 to 9 months. When it comes to headaches, is when you need to expand them. If they have 20 gigs left in that volume, but they need 30 gigs to put a new application, what comes out to it is we have to create another volume just to give them that enough space. With the virtualization introduced, now we don't have to do that because on the array, on the subsystem, we create an array. With that array, we use the entire array to create one pool. We throw it into virtualization, and we create one volume. That volume is, let's say, 65 gigs. If they come down to it, well, we're at 55 gigs, but we have an application that needs 15 gigs. All we do is expand it with that pool in there. It gives us no headaches. It gives us a lot easier manageability and feasibility.
So you're saying
your drives from which company, Grant? What are the series of drives that you have under virtualization?
Say that again.
What are the types of drives that you have under virtualization? Manufacturing type of drives.
Manufacturing type of drives. We have mostly predominant IBM and EMC.
Right. Okay.
No. What kind of drives? They're mostly all fiber channel.
Right.
Is that what you're looking for?
That's just the type. You saw Clarions and IBM 4000s, is it something like that?
Ranging from all the FASTs and the DS.
And the DS 8000, yeah. Okay.
DS 4000 and 8000. And if you know, the new 5000 just came out.
Right.
Okay. So the DS 8000 is your tier one. The DS 4000, and I guess sounds like Clarions are your mid tiers, right?
Correct.
Go ahead.
And normally, our lower fast tiers will be our archiving tier threes.
Okay, but it's interesting case study here. You're describing this sort of endless LUN management on the one hand for the non-virtualized storage, and this search for contiguous free space. Meaning it's painful to add, change, delete, move, really add and grow storage, right? Is that what I'm hearing? But on the virtualized side, it's much simpler. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, correct, it is.
Can you help us understand that? So, for instance, do you lease storage?
No, we don't.
Okay, so you're not constantly every 3 years moving stuff out because of a financial issue or event, but when you have to add storage, or even worse, migrate storage, can you do the comparison virtualized versus non-virtualized? Can you just give us a sense of how long does it take you to migrate an array for a non-virtualized component of your infrastructure? Is it a week, a month, 6 months?
Let's say a long time. It can range from, with all the planning and actually getting down and moving it, that will, with the moving, will be considered as zoning, masking, and actually creating and configuring storage. It could take us from planning to end close to a week to a month. And actually finding the time to do it, too, within the maintenance window. But doing a multi-migrate with the SVM, it could be done all in the background. We could prep it. Probably take us about a day to do. Then when in our maintenance window, we can actually push the migration. So compared to both, I say the virtualization will take us, with planning and everything going, less than a week.
Okay, so you're saying it goes from roughly 4 weeks to a week?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, we got to wrap here shortly. I'll summarize, but I want to make sure everybody has a chance to ask questions. Or any other last questions or thoughts or comments? If not, I will summarize, just to make sure everyone's got a chance to speak here. Okay, so let me summarize, if I may. First of all, thanks very much to Grant for leading the call, and Nelson Nahum for supporting this peer insight and sharing your perspectives. I'd also like to thank those who contributed today with questions or comments, Matthew Brisset, Nick Allen, Steve, and David Floyer. So let me summarize, if I may. This is Dave Vellante, and today is November 18th, 2008, and this is the Wikibon Peer Insight Storage Research Meeting. And the topic for today was 2009 storage budget cuts. What are your options? Presenting was Grant, an IT practitioner at a large financial institution, and Nelson Nahum, a fellow at LSI. Again, thank you. So the Wikibon community met today to discuss how executives can best address budget constraints. We see most IT departments facing cuts of between 5 and 30% in 2009, just based on discussions in the Wikibon community over the past several weeks. A lot of users have indicated that they've lived through downturns before, but perhaps not as severe as this one. And these experiences have taught IT executives to find ways to stretch budgets through a variety of techniques, both focused on CapEx and OpEx reduction. A lot of the suggestions that came out before this call were highly tactical, as you saw on the Ask a Question. Although executives did cite some architectural maneuvers that we discussed today as well. The case presented by Grant today highlighted several challenges that many organizations are probably facing today, namely deep budget cuts. Grant indicated his organization has cut budget, storage budget, by 75% for the next 6 months. Ouch. And so combined with very high growth of databases, increasing volume size and a lot of disruptions for adding storage and moving storage, as well as copy creep, there's an overall push, or was an overall push, to reduce costs, and that's been heightened to consolidate tiers and create pools, and also consolidate licenses in this 700 terabyte, 400 server shop, of which around 250 to 300 terabytes are virtualized today, and that is increasing over time. The solution is really to virtualize storage, consolidate multiple systems, and create a tiered infrastructure to try to reclaim wasted space, match data and device characteristics, and consolidate function, consolidating software licenses and maintenance contracts. As well, the organization virtualizes servers with VMware, however, does not virtualize the storage behind VMware. That's a future objective. We also heard Nelson talk about LSI's technology, and I'd like to summarize that. Storage Virtualization Manager, SVM5, is a virtualization technology that is going to allows LSI's OEM customers to sell an end-to-end solution, i.e., combining storage virtualization, thin provisioning, and storage management software, including snaps and clones, allow OEMs to sell these capabilities to their existing install bases, as well as bring in new arrays to take advantage of this function. So this end-to-end notion allows OEMs and VARs to provide services and maintenance in a single package that should meet customers' needs better. This is good news for users. While LSI is not the first to provide heterogeneous storage virtualization, the company's OEM strategy is unique and allows server vendors specifically, for example, HP, who has, I guess, pre-announced, and other storage OEMs in general, to provide a capability that can support near Tier 1 advanced functionality at modular price points. This is an example of technology that supports the strategy of leveraging installed infrastructure and focusing more on ROA, return on assets, versus spending incrementally to generate ROI. A brief summary of the advice we got from Wikibon users, in addition to negotiating harder for better pricing and deeper discounts, and this really comes from that ask a question document that I referred you to, but I'll just list them off. Renegotiate existing contracts, cut non-essential projects, re-examine personnel and reduce headcount for non-essential functions, selectively outsource and eliminate professional services where possible by shifting responsibilities to internal staff. Those were some of the tactical things. Some of the more architectural and specifically strategic investments around storage virtualization came out. Advantages are migrating data to less expensive storage tiers, easing administration, improving productivity as a result, minimizing migration expense. Grant talked about the reduction in migration time from 4 weeks with a non-virtualized infrastructure down to a week. And Nelson also talked about improving negotiating leverage, specifically where heterogeneous virtualization is in play, because you can get your storage from any vendor, at least in theory. Regardless, you know, the bottom line here is that this endless cycle of LUN management and the search for contiguous free space and painful migrations are productivity killers that waste storage space and reduce negotiation leverage by locking in buyers. Storage professionals that have architected a virtualized infrastructure are in better shape to take advantage of that capability in a downturn today, somewhat sacrificing potentially service levels but gaining lower costs. Organizations that don't possess this capability need to seriously consider the cost of implementing such an approach, or they might risk overspending in this economic crisis. Action item. Storage executives should immediately develop and begin implementing a plan to reduce expenses to support management edicts to cut the budget. Negotiating leverage, reduced service levels, pragmatic headcount cuts, and storage virtualization are the tools of the budget-cutting trade that users should employ. Communications is the key. Storage executives need to set expectations that everyone must sacrifice and somewhat reduced service levels in non-critical areas are to be expected. So, folks, over the next 24 hours, we'll be posting several research notes related to this topic around specific technical integration issues and organizational actions based on what we heard today. Please go to wikibon.org, read those notes, comment on them. If you have a question, hit the Ask a Question button at the bottom of the page and feel free to ask a question. Who knows, your question may become a peer insight. You'll also see a button down there on posting a wiki tip. Please feel free to share your brief thoughts with your colleagues and, as I say, comment on the articles. So thanks very much for your participation today, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.